Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, I'm continuing to teach on the subject of self-centeredness and how it's the source of all of our problems. It's the source of all of our grief. Now, I'm not preaching that we aren't supposed to have a good self-esteem, but actually, as we'll continue in this series, what I'm talking about is we need to esteem what God has done on the inside of us, our new born-again person. But you know what? You don't need to exalt yourself above what you're supposed to be. And in my own life and in the life of so many people, I think that this is the root of how Satan gets to us. I've already used as an example that Satan was lifted up with pride and said, I will exalt myself above the stars, above the throne of God, etc. This is how he came at Adam and Eve, was to get them into thinking that they had missed something. You know, if they had been dead to themselves and loving God more than they loved themselves, the whole temptation of Satan would have been powerless. The only reason it was powerful was because they all of a sudden begin to start thinking, well, what about me? I'm missing out on something. All of our problems originate from the fact that we just love ourselves so much. If you could imagine right now, if I took a corpse, and if I had a corpse laying in front of me, you know, I could spit on the corpse, I could insult the corpse, I could kick the corpse, or I could ignore the corpse. And if it's a corpse, it wouldn't respond. The reason that you respond so much when somebody says something and it hurts you and that you respond the way you do is because you are so alive to yourself, because it is so important to you what everybody else thinks. You're getting your validation from other people instead of from God alone. And this has to change. If you're really going to be successful and have God move in your life, you've got to get out of this self-centered, self-loving, self-promoting mode into a mode to where you value God more than anything else, and you find your worth in your relationship with God, not in your own self and in your own self-accomplishments. I want to turn over to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10 and share a scripture with you. And I'd encourage you, if you can, of course, if you're listening by radio, I wouldn't encourage you to open up your Bible and read this, but if you're watching at home or someplace, and if you can read this in your Bible, you need to read it, because you wouldn't believe this is in the Bible if you don't see it for yourself. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Notice it says in verse 10, it says only by pride. It didn't say that pride is one of the leading factors. And for type A personality types, this is what causes contention, etc. It says only. And if you look that up in the Hebrew, the word only, the Hebrew word only means only. That means that this is the only way it comes. Now, I know that as I'm saying this, there are many of you that you've been raised thinking, well, no, it's a family trait. We just are kind of an angry type people. It's just my type of personality. It's run in my family for generations. See, there are many of you that don't agree with what the scripture says. You say, oh, no, this is just a characteristic of Womack's or whatever your name is. Or many of you think, well, it's because of this circumstance. If you knew what this person did to me, then you would be angry also. That's not what it's saying. Jesus, of course, suffered more than anybody else, and he suffered unjustly, which made the offense that came against Jesus even worse. And yet Jesus was able to turn around to the very people who crucified him, mocked him, had blindfolded him and spit in his face and slapped him and said, "Prophesy, who is it that hit you?" I mean, the things that happened to Jesus were unbelievable, infinitely worse than anything that's happened to you or me. And yet Jesus was able to turn around to those people and say, "Father, forgive them." Totally selfless. And if Jesus could do that, well, then you cannot say that it's what other people do to you that make you angry. That is not so. Now, they may provide you with an opportunity. They may present you with something that is an offense, but you have the choice of how you'll respond to any situation. And Jesus showed us that he chose to turn the other cheek. He chose to bless the very people who were cursing us. And he told us to do the exact same thing. He said, "Bless and curse not." See, if you're thinking, well, the reason I'm angry is because of what this person did to me, that's wrong. Again, they may be a factor, but they are not the determining factor. What other people do to you cannot dictate your responses. So if I had time, if I could just sit down and talk to every one of you, I can guarantee you that you have some way of interpreting this passage of Scripture so that you really have dodged the full impact of it. You're saying, well, it's the way I was raised. It's my circumstances. It's what this person did to me. It's my personality. It's in my genes. It's in my hormones. I've heard people say before, it's my time of the month. And, you know, 2 days out of the month, I act like the devil. I just don't believe that. I really don't. I'm not going to go there. But I'm just saying, we got a million and one excuses for being able to say why the Word of God isn't true and why this doesn't apply to me. But this is so strong. It says, only by pride cometh contention. The only thing that makes you angry is your self-centeredness. You may disagree with that, but you're wrong. I don't know how to make that any more clearer than that. Look over here in Proverbs chapter 17. And in verse 14, it says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. That verse is saying that the beginning of strife is contention. And Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Or another way of putting all this together is to say that the root of all strife, all anger, all bitterness, all hurt, all of these things in your life is your pride. Now, I had a man one time hear me teach on this exact same thing. And after the service, he came up to me and he said, look, brother, he says, I've really received from your ministry. I'm not trying to be contentious, but you cannot tell me that pride is my problem. He says, if anything, I have such low self-esteem that I think I am the scum of the earth. I don't feel good about myself. And he says, I don't have pride. You can't tell me that. And yet I'm a very bitter, angry person. And what he was missing here is, see, that I think most of us don't really have a clear definition of pride. We've misdiagnosed it. It's like, you know, if you had a stick right here, if I was holding a stick, there's two ends to this stick and they're pointing in opposite directions. All we've identified is one end of the stick. We look at arrogance and thinking that, man, I'm better than you are. And we say that's pride. Well, that is pride, but that's one end of the stick. You know, the exact same stick, still the same thing. Pride is over here where a person says, you know, I'm a failure. I've never done anything good. Nothing ever works for me. I am the scum of the earth. You know what that is? That's pride. Because in my definition, if I had more time, I could share this with you in greater depth. But in my understanding, pride is not just exalting yourself and thinking you're better than everybody else. Pride, in its simplest terms, is just self-centeredness, self-focus. It really is. And a person who's proud and arrogant is a person who's thinking they are better than everybody else. They look down their noses at everybody else. That's pride. But you know what? A person who is thinking, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Nothing ever works for me. I'm just no good. That's pride. They are absolutely self-centered. And I can tell you that with conviction. Because I used to be a super introvert. I couldn't look at a person in the face and talk to them. And I used to have what the world calls low self-worth to such a degree that I was consumed with it. And I can tell you what was going on in my heart. When I met a person, they had introduced themselves. And I mean, 2 seconds after they told me their name, I couldn't remember it. You know why? It's not because I don't have a decent brain and I can't remember things. It was because I wasn't listening to them. I didn't care about them. I was thinking about myself. What was I going to say next? I was worried about me making a mistake. I was just so focused on myself, I couldn't acknowledge that anybody else existed. I tell you, timidness, some of you will maybe choke on this, but it's true. Timidness is an extreme form of pride. It really is. You are an absolutely self-centered person. You are constantly thinking about yourself. When a person walks in the room, the first thing you think about is, oh no, what are they going to think about me? I wonder if I'm going to come across. And you get into insecurity. People who won't open up and talk, you know what it is? It's a fear of what people think about you. There are some of you watching this program or listening by radio that right now you've got miracles. God has done, you've been healed. You've had your marriage saved. You've got things that could bless people. And yet, if I had a crowd here of 1,000 people, and if I were to invite you to come up front and share what God has done in your life, you've got things that could bless people. You've had a miracle, and yet many of you would freeze. And you would just write it off as saying, well, that's not my gift. I'm a shy person. You know, if you want to just peel back a few layers, you know what the problem really is? You're so self-conscious, thinking about yourself and afraid that you will make a mistake, that you would literally let a person's marriage fall apart, let a person die and go to hell, not minister to them because you are thinking so much about yourself. That's wrong. When I first got started in ministry, like I told you, I was an introvert, and because of it, I struggled. I mean, it was pitiful. The first 2 years I ministered, I apologized to God and everybody I could think of because it was pitiful. And I finally had a man come listen to me one day. And after listening to me minister, he came up afterwards and he says, you know, you've got some good things to share. And if you ever got to where you were more concerned about the people you were ministering to than you were about yourself and what everybody thought about you, you could be a blessing. Man, it was just like a dagger in my heart. But you know what? It was true. And it showed me why I was paralyzed. It wasn't because I couldn't do it. It was because I was so self-centered. Self-centeredness will kill you. It's the root of all of these things. And I'm trying to get across that self-centeredness is not just thinking you're better than everybody else. It can be thinking you're worse than everybody else. And in some ways, that low self-esteem and stuff is a worse form of self-centeredness because it's so subtle. You don't recognize it. You actually think that it's a godly trait. So you've embraced it and you encourage it. It's pride. And this scripture says, only by pride comes contention. You know, there's a lot more to share on this. I'm going to be talking and sharing some things with you that will help you to manage your emotions, your anger. And I think this will help you. But we're going to take a brief break. I've got this tape entitled Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. And our announcer will give you some information on it. And then I'll be right back.
To listen to today's teaching, you can go to our website and click on Free Audio Teachings Online and search for the title Self-Centeredness, the Source of Grief. This MP3 download is made available on our website at no charge. As Andrew mentioned on today's program, you can also get the teaching on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Simply request teaching TSK7 when you contact us. Be sure to specify either the CD or DVD teaching. The ministry is celebrating the New Year's holiday and our helpline is closed today. But you can always go to our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. Or if you prefer, you can write us. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We hope to hear from you today. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
I've been sharing about how that self-centeredness is the inroad of Satan into our life. And specifically, we were talking out of Proverbs 13:10, where it says, only by pride cometh contention. Some people struggle with that because they only see pride as arrogance, but there's many other manifestations of it. And I was talking about how that low self-esteem, condemning yourself, is actually pride. You know, in the church that I grew up in, I heard this often. People would get up and it was like a standard line. They'd get up and they'd say, well, I don't have a very good voice, but God said, make a joyful noise. And so I'm just going to sing and y'all pray for me as I sing. And then they'd open up their mouth and they had had 10 years of operatic training and they were, you know, this awesome voice. And yet they got up and they thought that was humility to sit there and say, well, I don't have such a good voice. You know, it wasn't true. That's a religious con. It's some of the religious games we get into. But they didn't mean it. What they were doing is putting themselves down, hoping that you would rush up to them afterwards and say, oh, you shouldn't have said that. You got a beautiful voice. It's a backhanded way of trying to get a compliment. Put yourself down so other people will come back and make you feel good. And they don't mean it. And to prove it, you can go up to those people in the supermarket during the week and say, you know what? I think you were right. You do have the worst voice I've ever heard in my life. And then just see if they'll say, yes, brother, that's what I was telling you. Just pray for them. They didn't mean it. They'd take offense over it. But see, these are some of the religious games that we get into to where we try and do this. And I'm telling you, that's pride. That's self-centeredness. You know what true humility is? It's just saying about yourself what God says about you. Don't go above it and promote yourself and make yourself something that you aren't. That's lying. That's arrogance. That's hypocrisy. But also, don't go below it. For you to sit here and say, well, oh, I could never be righteous. I just could never say that about myself. You know what that is? That's arrogance. That's pride. God says you are the righteousness of God. And you say, oh, but I just don't feel I could never say that. That's pride. That's stupidity. Just excuse my bluntness, but it is. See, you need to redefine pride. Let me use this verse over here in Numbers chapter 12. This is another one of those passages of Scripture that it would do you good to read in your own Bible, because some of you will struggle with this. But in Numbers chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. What this is talking about, Moses, of course, was a Jew, so he had that kind of olive, Middle East complexion, and he married an Ethiopian who was a black. And so it was an interracial marriage. And because of this, it says in verse 2, that they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. In other words, Moses' sister and brother got offended because he had an interracial marriage. You know, this isn't my point that I'm trying to make, but some people have asked me before, so what do you think about interracial marriages? Well, I think that you're going to have problems because it's going to cause all kinds of things, and you could debate that, but am I going to say it's sin or that God won't allow it? Well, no, because of this right here. God got peeved. God got upset, and he actually struck Miriam with leprosy right here. So that kind of settles the issue for me. But in verse 3 is what I wanted to show you. It says, in parentheses, after it's talking about this, it says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Man, what an awesome statement. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, we don't know how many people were on the earth, but we know that there was approximately 3.5 million Jews that came out of the land of Egypt, and they were the minority. So that means that there had to be over 3.5 million Egyptians. Let's just say that there was 6 million of them. That's nearly 10 million right there. And then there's the people in the land of Canaan, and there was millions of them. And if you take the whole earth in, there had to be tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people on the earth during Moses' time, and it says Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. That's an awesome statement. And you know what makes this an even more awesome statement? Moses is the guy who wrote this. Moses said about himself, I am the meekest man out of 100 million people. Nobody is meeker than I am. Do you know, if you use a traditional definition of pride, you could never say that. I heard a story one time about a church that took a vote to find out who the most humble person in their church was. And so everybody agreed it was dear old brother so-and-so. So on Sunday morning, they got him up there and they gave him this huge hump button that said humble on it, a humble button. And they presented it to him in front of the whole church. And because he accepted it, they took it away. Believing that if you're really humble, you'd never know it. That's not true humility. True humility is saying about yourself what God says. God told Moses, he was writing down Scripture, and he says, Moses, you are the meekest man on the face of the earth. And Moses was humble enough to write it. You know, if I had you right here in my studio with me, and if I could somehow or another get 100 people or so together, and I said, somebody in here has to be more meek, more humble than anybody else. Somebody's obtained closer to this than anybody else. So right now, I want everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, and pray. And let's ask God to reveal who's the meekest person in here. And if God was to speak to you and say, it's you, you are the meekest person, would you be able to stand up and say, it's me, I'm the most meek person in this place? Could you do that, or would you sit there and say, no, what would everybody think about me? Well, see, if that's the way you are, then you aren't the meekest person. You know what that is? That's pride. You are exalting your opinion and what would people think about me? A truly humble person is a person who just doesn't have an opinion about themselves. They don't exalt themselves, nor do they debase themselves because they're worried about other people's opinion. A truly humble person is just like Moses, who if the Lord was to speak to you, and if it was true, you would just say, you know what, I'm the meekest person in my whole church. Man, that's something. See, again, we have criticized arrogance and exalting yourself. But basically, the church has said, you can't knock yourself low enough. You can't think bad enough about yourself. You can't put yourself down too low. And we've encouraged that. And there's a lot of people who, through religious indoctrination, are down on themselves and hating themselves. And you know what that is? That's pride. So my point in all of this comes from that scripture in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, where it says, only by pride comes contention. And there's a lot of you that probably think, well, no, that's not my problem. Well, it is if you define pride the way that the Bible does. If you define it as self-centeredness, not only arrogance, but criticism of yourself and thinking down on yourself. Self-centeredness is the root of pride. And that is what makes you angry. Yeah, again, I've used this example, but if you had a corpse here, and if the corpse was dead, you couldn't make the corpse mad. You know why? Because it's dead to itself. It no longer has this self-consciousness. And if you weren't so self-conscious, if you weren't thinking all of the time about, look what they said about me, you could reach a place to where you wouldn't be angry. Moses, again, you know, it says he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And I can give you a number of examples where people came out and criticized Moses and spoke against him. We just read one where Miriam and Aaron, his sister and brother, came and spoke against him. But there's a number of them. And it happened so many times that when people came out against Moses and his authority, that God judged them and punished them. Miriam was struck with leprosy. This happens so often that you can find examples when people came out and criticized Moses that he literally hit his knees, boom, just like that, when people started criticizing him. Why? Because he was saying, oh God, look what they said about me. See, that's most of our reactions. But you know what he was doing? He knew that these people were in trouble for criticizing him because he knew where he stood with God. He knew his covenant. He knew how God felt about him. And rather than being self-centered, thinking, look what they've said about me, instead, he immediately saw this person has put themselves in harm's way. Boy, if they don't repent, if something doesn't happen, they could come under the punishment of God. And he immediately began to start interceding for other people. And you know what he was? The meekest man on the face of the earth. The least self-centered man on the face of the earth. He reached a place that when people criticized him, instead of taking it personally and being offended, he immediately thought about the people. What's wrong with them? You know, I had a woman that came to me. It's a very long story. I hadn't got time to go into it. But she was in a second marriage, and the man had tried to kill her. He had poured hot grease over her once. He had broken her neck. He had tried to kill her children by the previous marriage. And the first night I ever met him, the police had him separated on the lawn, and he had tried to kill her. And so it's a long story. But she started to work for me, and I started coaching her how to deal with this terrible marriage and how to deal with this thing. This man would leave his body at night and bark and howl at the moon and scratch on the walls, and he'd levitate tables. Anyway, this woman, I started telling her, the reason you were so angry at him is because of your self-centeredness. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have problems, but again, just like this scripture, it is not what he did that caused her problem. It was her reaction. And I said, I guarantee you, I wouldn't react to him the way you do. You're the one who's empowered him to have this control in your life. This woman received this truth and as a result got to a place to where in front of a marriage counselor, he maligned her, said she had tried to break his neck. She had poured hot grease over him. He lied about her. And instead of her fighting back and justifying herself, she just said in front of the marriage counselor, she says, well, I used to think it was his fault, but I found out that it's me. I'm as much of a problem as he is. And she just humbled herself and she says, yeah, I'm working on it. God's dealing with me. The marriage counselor told him to divorce her. But you know what? When they left there, that man looked at her and he says, what happened? Why didn't you defend yourself? And she says, I've got my security in the Lord. If running me down is going to help you, it's fine. Doesn't matter. You know what that is? That's humility. That man got born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the next problem they had was because he wanted to go to Bible school and become a preacher, and she didn't want him to be a preacher. You know what turned all that around was a selflessness. And that's what God has in store for us. And I promise if you can learn this, it'll change your life. Listen as our announcer gives you some information, and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth broadcast.
To listen to today's teaching, you can go to our website and click on Free Audio Teachings Online and search for the title Self-Centeredness, the Source of Grief. This MP3 download is made available on our website at no charge. As Andrew mentioned on today's program, you can also get the teaching on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Simply request teaching TSK7 when you contact us. Be sure to specify either the CD or DVD teaching. The ministry is celebrating the New Year's holiday and our helpline is closed today. But you can always go to our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Or if you prefer, you can write us. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts... The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance, February 5th through the 7th, Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to thank those of you who are partners with our ministry and for the way that you've helped us to reach out. And you know, we are literally impacting about one-third of the world's population can get this program, and that's because of our partners. But you know what? There's more. There's other people that have never heard these programs. We need to increase, and I'd like to ask you to consider giving in a time of famine. Other people may be drawing back, but man, I'm stretching out. I believe it's our opportunity, and I'm going to receive 100-fold for the effort that I'm putting into this, and I'd like you to be a part of it. So we have our web address, also our phone number there. I encourage you to call and become a partner today.
Yeah, yeah.
Join us next week as we present this special report on Andrew's second trip to Uganda.
This is Uganda. This is Uganda.